What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 218 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We are going to be going over all of the mid-season sandbox changes that Chris Proctor was good enough to talk to us about today in the TWAB. There are some big ones, definitely some ones that have the potential to shake up the meta. So we are going to be talking about all that stuff. We're going to be breaking down the numbers, changes to 120s, to shotguns, to DMT, and even some insight on what they're potentially going to be looking at in the future. So I'm really, really excited for this episode. It comes at a perfect time, right on the heels of our meta analysis and breakdown from last week. So we will be talking about all that stuff. But first, let's get the introduction out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I'm doing pretty fantastic. My AC is fighting a losing battle. Down here in Texas, it is pretty warm today, and I'm definitely sitting in 77 degrees despite the thermostat fighting to pull it down to 70. But I think we're striking a balance because it was totally at 80 earlier. So we're reaching an accord here between the...
That's rough, man. Not as bad as the Seattle people had it.
No,
115 degrees and no AC.
Yeah, they don't have the AC. So I feel actually pretty fortunate, all things considered.
Yeah. By comparison, I'm living in luxury at a brisk 75 in my house. It has actually not been tremendously hot in Florida recently, which is actually amazing. Like, it was like 79 outside the other day, but it has been raining for pretty much 3 weeks straight every single day. So I guess that's the trade-off of living in Florida, is we've got the humidity outside, even if we don't have the heat necessarily. Yeah. But, you know, I'm just glad that we have AC. At my previous house, which was a 70-year-old home, it was not sealed very well, and so we had to make the sacrifice of, if we wanted to run the AC in the summer, it was going to be about $400 a month for our utility bill. So fortunately, now that we live in a house that actually has seals around the doors and windows, we don't have to do that anymore.
Savage. Yeah, well, like I said, doing pretty well. How about you?
It's been good, man. It's been good. It's been a fun week. I've been playing a little bit of Iron Banner, not as much as I would have liked. I've been running a lot more Expunge and Override than I normally do because the challenges that came out this week required 20 corrupted chest openings in Expunge. And I was like, oh my God, it's a good thing I can farm Tartarus in like 6 minutes, right? So that I can just run those over and over again. But you can only hold a max of 5 keys. So it's like I run it 5 times in a row and then I have to go and do some other activities to gain more keys. So... but besides that, going out of town this weekend, going to be doing some scuba diving, hopefully, if the tropical storm Elsa stays far enough away. And besides that, really just looking forward to talking about some Destiny. This is exactly what the podcast is here for, basically. So
exactly right. Well, let's, without too much further ado, see if we can knock out some housekeeping real quick here. Now I'm going to do the thank yous in reverse order here because we've got some folks to thank. So first off, big thank you to our two newest patrons joining us just in the last couple of days. We have the Sarati. Thank you so much for your pledge. And we have Dr. Quasar, which I appreciate as a bit of a astronomy nerd. I appreciate that. So... thank you so much for your support. We appreciate both of you, as we do all of our ongoing patrons. And speaking of people with ongoing support that need some thanking, it's no longer a trifecta. It's not even a quadrifecta. We've got 6 people sponsoring the podcast, 6 Guardians. I don't even know what to say, except thank you so much to ZenSoCal, to the Shazzle, to a Solitary Bird. Thank you also to new sponsors joining, Deacon. And I think this is ASCII and Monk. I think I figured it out. ASCII and Monk, which is an awesome name to choose there. And thank you also to Conquer King 420. Wow. Just thank you so much, everybody. You guys are amazing and we appreciate you. And with that, let's throw it over to another group of people that we appreciate. Do we have any reviews this week to read out?
No podcast reviews this week.
Well, that's okay. I think we've been fortunate enough.
I was gonna say we're getting to the point where it's almost like the patron numbers are gonna eclipse the podcast review numbers, which is pretty crazy. But I want to say, you know, obviously, thank you to all the sponsors. Thank you to everyone who has reviewed us in the past. Thank you to people who just send us nice messages. Like, I've gotten two messages this week talking about how much they enjoyed the show. One talking about how much they enjoyed Beneath Twin Suns. One talking about how much they enjoyed one of our past episodes. And like, that stuff is just fantastic, right? Like, I just love seeing that stuff. It really makes my day. But secondary, if you guys appreciate that the audio quality is now, some would say, significantly better than it has been in the past, like, that is thanks to the patrons and the sponsors in its entirety. Like, we are able to kind of step our game up to the next level. So huge shout out to all you guys. Thank you. If you do want to leave us a review, you're welcome to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else. If you leave it anywhere other than Apple Podcasts, it's probably best to send us a message, let us know. Maybe send us a screenshot of it, just because we don't have an aggregator that collects all that stuff like we do for Apple Podcasts. But if you do, we'll read it out on air in the housekeeping part, and we'll give you a shout out and a little thank you. And outside of that, I think we might have set record time to finish the housekeeping for back-to-back weeks, which I'm pretty happy with, too.
Absolutely. Well, we, like you mentioned in the intro, we have some juicy tidbits to talk about here, courtesy of Chris Proctor. So let's see what Chris had to say and try to figure out exactly what it might mean for all of us going forward.
Yeah, so Chris comes in, and as he is wont to do, and as I really, really appreciate from him, he gives some additional detail. He doesn't just list off bullet points about what he's doing and what he's changing. He gives a lot of reasons behind it. He explains a couple of things. He even talks about just how kind of difficult it is for them to do these mid-season changes, but they thought it was really, really super important. It was super vital, so they've done them, right? You know, he talks about over the last couple of seasons, they've made some changes, stuff that brought aggressive hand cans to the spotlight. Rocket launchers are awesome for PvE. Dead Man's Tail is now, you know, crazy on mouse and keyboard and stuff like that. So he talks about that, and then he says, look, you know, normally we don't make large changes in a midseason patch, but there are a handful of weapons that are sucking all the air out of the room, and we decided to bring some changes originally planned for season 15 into next week's update. So this is actually coming out next Tuesday, which is July 5th. Is it July 5th? No, July 6th. July 6th. July 6th. So I'm not sure when you guys are listening to this. If you're late, they may already be live. But they're going to follow this up with another big set of changes in season 15. But basically what they're saying is moving these changes up in a season of the Splicer, it gives us the option of potentially doing reactive tuning in season 15's mid-season patch, right? So there's three patches that they're talking about here. There's the season 14 mid-season patch, which is the one that's coming out on Tuesday. There's the season 15 start of the season patch, and then there's the season 15 mid-season patch. So when this update goes live, they're going to be able to respond to it in the middle of season 15. By the time this one goes live, then the original season 15, like the start of season 15 one, that one's probably already pretty darn close to lockdown, and you can't really make changes off day one of a patch, right? Like, you have to give it a few weeks to breathe so you can see how things shake out.
Right.
So we can't expect, you know, if something happens and one set of weapons just becomes tremendously OP on Wednesday of next week, it's probably going to be pretty hard for them to address it until the middle of next season. But based on the changes, I don't think that's going to happen. So he says, without further ado, they're going to talk about a couple things. Shotguns, 120 RPM aggressive hand cans, Dead Man's Tail. Combined, these dominate all forms of PvP, but in particular Trials. And they've been getting large amounts of feedback about special weapon usage in the Crucible too. And they said this is basically going to be a first step towards addressing these player concerns. And then there's also going to be some PvE stuff too that they're going to talk about later. But he clarifies at the very, very beginning, before he even talks about any stuff, he says, let's talk about special weapon roles in PvP. Now, this is how they envision these weapons working. He says straight up, not all of these are exactly where they want them to be. But they're trying to move them towards it, and they do expect that they need to make some more adjustments later on. And they also say that the abundance of special ammo in PvP kind of distorts these roles, right? So sniper rifles, engaging at long range with aiming skill and when not already under fire, meaning you get the first shot off. Shotguns, engaging at point blank range, using skill at movement or positioning to get close enough to get a one or a two hit elimination. Fusion rifles, engaging at mid-range, but requiring careful positioning and pre-charging around cover for success. Trace rifles, strong at close and mid-ranges, but the cost is they're not a one-hit elimination, which means they can be outplayed by a skillful primary user. And then grenade launchers, useful for weakening an opponent, getting damage around corners with bounces, or getting one-hit eliminations with direct impact at the cost of projectile travel time, and being in a bad place if you miss your shot with the single-round magazine. So I think right off the bat, we can tell that there's some of those things that are not entirely fitting into those roles just perfectly.
That's definitely true. I think one of the great things about this, though, is that he really just outlined for, you know, for any newer players, anybody who maybe hasn't done a lot of PvP in the past and is trying to figure out what their play style is, what weapons might suit the way they want to play. He really just outlined, I think, kind of the basic strategy for using each of those weapons successfully, right? Sniper rifle. Obviously, long range, right? That's pretty straightforward. But then the not already under fire is, I think, such a key point. Because double peeking with a sniper is how you die, right? And he just goes down the list, right? Like shotguns, close range, point blank range, not charging at someone from 40 meters away. Right? I think it's fantastic the way he outlined what their vision is for where these weapons should work, because a lot of them are close, I think. There are times when maybe they're not quite right, but I think by and large they're generally, you know, you can see what they're trying to do.
I think fusion rifles and trace rifles are pretty close to what they want there. Not even pretty close. I think fusion rifles and trace rifles are like right there, like. If you consider mid range to be like 15 to 25 meters, if that's what you consider mid range to be. Now, to me personally, because of the sandboxes we've had in the past, I consider that more to be like close range. Like I would consider mid range to be like 30 meters, right? Because usually when I think of like long range, I'm thinking of like 40 plus meters, where the only guns that are effective are like very high impact, slow rate of fire weapons.
Right.
You know, like your aggressive pulse rifles, your 120 hand cans, your scout rifles. Like I think of that as long range. To me, I think of mid range is like, you know, the high 20s, low 30s, maybe somewhere around there.
That's what I would have also probably said if, you know, just asked in a vacuum out of context, what's mid range? I would have probably said 25 to 35 meters.
Yeah, and so I'm not really sure that fusion rifles operate at that range. Pretty much even the best rolled fusion rifles, you know, outside of things like Kickstart, which just like step your damage up to a whole different level. But even the best range fusion rifles, I mean, I'm finding myself like stretching it if I'm in the mid-20s.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really dream of engaging someone at like 30 meters with a fusion rifle, at least not with any consistency. So I think that one's close. Trace rifles, I think that's pretty much what it is, right? Like
yeah,
they're strong at multiple ranges, not long range, but they're strong inside of long range. They kill faster than most primaries, but you can definitely be outplayed by a primary. I think trace rifles are all right. I think it would be worrisome if they were buffed, because we've seen what happens when they get too strong. Nobody realized that. We've had twice. We have, you know, Prometheus lens, which was a whole different level of broken. Like that was like Vex Mythoclast when it first came out, levels of broken. And then we've also had Wave Splitter, which was a menace on PlayStation, but unfortunately I never got to enjoy on Xbox, much to my chagrin. You know, sniper rifles, I think they're pretty close. I still have some issues with getting shot through flinch by them, which is pretty frustrating, particularly against pulse rifles. But pulse rifles had the flinch they deal nerfed a long time ago. I'm not sure who remembers that, but there is a very, very teeny tiny short meta where it was high caliber rounds and pulse rifles. And they nerfed that pretty quick. And so all pulse rifles across the board now deal less flinch, which is frustrating. And because I main a pulse rifle, I still have a number of issues of being shot through flinch by snipers. But I would think that snipers are pretty close to where they're trying to want them to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they probably want to do more to emphasize the not already under fire aspect, given the way that flinch currently works on snipers, even after the changes that they've made, where it seems like maybe the changes they made to flinch just weren't quite enough. People are still maybe not with the same consistency, but I guess what I've heard anyway, I was never really good at flinching onto somebody's head. That was never a trick I picked up. But from what I've heard,
the trick
it
is
still
to
works.
Be aimed away from their head.
Right.
The trick is to be not aimed at their head because
well, that's usually where I'm aimed.
Off. If you're on, it flinches you off. If you're off, it flinches you towards the target.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, nobody really knows why it's that way because the people who designed flinch at Bungie are long since gone, right? And Chris Proctor's come in recently and is trying to work on it. But, you know, I guess the theory would be that, like, if flinch always moved you away from the target, whoever got shot first would lose every engagement, right? Like, there would be no possibility of getting onto a target once you've been shot. I think that's probably what it is. I think there's also probably some weird mechanic that goes along with what they refer to as magnetism, what we refer to as reticle friction.
Yeah.
Where it kind of like you'll notice that you're aiming at one player and another player runs behind you and like pulls your reticle away. I think there's some little bit of that on controller where it senses like movement, like reticle movement, but it's caused by flinch as opposed to being caused by the player's like thumbstick or something. And it like kind of activates that reticle friction, like drags it back on. I don't know. We're not really sure, but it is still a little bit frustrating. Well, regardless though, the engaging at long range with aiming skill, there's a lot of aim assist on snipers right now.
There is. That's
especially
fair.
The high zooms, which is ironic because the high zooms have never been at any point in time sought after in Destiny PvP until just now.
Yeah.
When occluded finality is like the shit because of that aim assist buff that it got to go with zoom. Yeah, I don't know about aiming skill. I suppose it takes more aiming skill to use a sniper than it does to use any of the other special weapons.
Yeah, I think that's the bar right now. It probably takes more aiming skill. Well, probably takes more aiming skill than it does to use a grenade launcher.
Yeah, I definitely think it takes more aiming skill than it does to use a grenade launcher. If we're going in order of ones we agree with the most to ones we agree with the least, grenade launcher will be down there at the bottom. But
I think snipers might actually be the furthest away in my mind. I think grenade launchers, the problem is more the amount of ammunition that you can get than the way that they work. I think if you just like had a lot harder time getting ammo for your grenade launchers, they would not be oppressive because you would be. You'd be using them like an actual grenade as opposed to like maining them.
Well, here, let's talk about grenade launchers next because shotguns we don't really need to talk about because they're getting, you know, changed immediately. None of the other ones are getting changed this patch, right? So grenade launchers useful for weakening an opponent, getting damage around corners with bounces, or getting a one-hit kill elimination, one-hit elimination with a direct impact at the cost of projectile travel time. And being in a bad place if you miss your shot with a single round magazine. So those last two things I have issues with. Number one, the velocity of these projectiles is insanely fast. Like there is hardly any real travel time to a lot of the breach action and special ammo grenade launchers. They are very, very quick. I mean, I'm seeing clips from people rocketing these things across the map and they get there faster than rocket launchers do. Like they are like lightning. So I have a little bit of a thing with that because I don't really feel like you have to do a ton of leading. You have to do a little bit more, right? But I don't really feel like it's a huge skill gap added to the weapon because their velocity is so high. Second, being in a bad place if you miss your shot with a single round magazine. Well, that's not entirely true because you've got slide shot, you've got hunter dodges. You've got a lot of things that can make your reload either very quick or instantaneous, which almost entirely negates the drawback of a single round magazine.
That's fair. And I don't think that's something that they can get around without completely reworking how, say, the hunters work. They gave hunters instant reloads on dodge. At this point,
it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, they could take it away and give us something else. I'd be fine with that.
I would actually not be fine with that. I use that a lot to proc kill clip. I really need that. Just make it don't work on grenade launchers. No, I'm kidding. I know there are people out there that enjoy their grenade launchers, so I'm not actually suggesting that.
But that's part of why I say, you know, if you just started with one shot in a grenade launcher and you got, you know, even like half as
one
much.
One chance, one opportunity.
Yeah. Right? To seize everything you ever wanted.
Yeah, and it happens to be hitting someone with a grenade.
You know, You just got to ask yourself, would you capture it?
Or would you let it slip away?
Yeah. Okay. So we're not going to do that anymore. But
I thought that was funny.
That was good. That was something. It was a thing that happened on the Massive Breakdown podcast. But really, I think the problem with Reload is, aside from Slideshot, which I have to think not that many people have. And
I've got it's easy on inertial override. It's or not inertial over. Wait, is that what it's called? Inertial override? Am I mixing a Titan perk with an actual grenade launcher? Because I feel like I am right now, and now I'm questioning myself. Regardless, it was pretty easy to farm one of those with that perk, and then it was even really surprisingly easy to farm one that had that perk, and you know was actually a good roll overall, which I was kind of. It was ignition code. There we go.
Ignition code, yeah.
What is inertial override? Is the Titan perk where you slide over ammo and it gives you bonus damage? Is that what that is?
I'm drawing a blank on it.
There's too many things called override, I'm feeling like, because now there's override the activity. Well, you know, anyway. Regardless, that's a pretty good perk. That definitely helps that gun a lot.
It does. And, you know, I mean, I would argue that was probably a mistake to put it on there, but it's out there now. And maybe they can change it in the future. But
yeah, I mean, they've shown that they can remove single perks. But okay, yeah. So what about the other three things? What it says it's useful for? So that was the weaknesses to it, right? So basically what they've said is this is the strength, and then here's the weakness.
I don't think there's any argument about the strengths. I think the strengths work as advertised. I think the problem is that the weaknesses are by and large relatively easy to get around, because even before Slideshot, and even if you weren't on a hunter, if you had a grenade launcher with auto-loading holster, you could throw a mod on there to instantly swap to another weapon after using it, and then it would reload itself for you while you used your bow or your hand cannon or whatever it was that you were blinting with to clean up the kill and to engage the next person. So there are a number of ways to work around those weaknesses with perks. So I really think that the problem is, and that's, you know, the cost of projectile travel time, I think you could debate if it should be slower or not. My concern is if it gets significantly slower, that they could become unusable. Grenade launchers walk a fine line. I'm not saying they couldn't be a touch slower. I'm just saying if they were too much slower, there'd be very few people who could land those shots. And maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. The reload, though, and the single shot magazine there, it's clearly, to me, it's clearly about ammunition. And so I think the most direct, simplest way to rein them in is to let them be good at what they're good at right now. Because they're, by and large, I think they're not oppressive unless the person just is able to keep getting ammo, right? If they only get to use it once or twice and then it takes them a while to build up some ammo, or if they only get to use it once, say, right? One shot when you spawn in. And then you've got to hope that the person you kill has special, or that you're able to pick up some other special. And you get one more. Heck, turn off the scavs on them. I don't care. You know, I'd probably still use them occasionally. That's how I feel about it. Like, you know, I think they'd be strong enough, even if I was getting half as much ammo, I'd still consider using them. So
I think that, so if you look at the pros and the cons of each one, right? Like, obviously we've talked about the cons. I think the pros also are a little bit more pro than they probably should be, right? Like, useful for weakening an opponent. When you think of weakening an opponent, you don't really think of leaving them one shot with a single hit, generally. You think of like doing what a sniper does, right? Or what a shotgun does when it doesn't kill them, right? It usually takes about half their health away, maybe a little bit more. These grenade launchers on near misses do 175 damage. They do enough damage to where if you've taken basically damage from any other source, you're going to die in one hit, right? If they body shot you with any gun in the game, you're going to die, which feels almost instant. So The getting damage around corners thing, it only bugs me now because they made that change to where you can keep holding it and it will detonate if it hits them. I don't really like that. I think that removed a little bit of the skill gap. The one hit kill elimination on direct impact, I'm fine with. But what's happening a lot of times now is people are taking chip damage from another source and they're getting one hit. I'm air quoting. They're getting one hit with a grenade launcher because they took a tiny little bit of damage from an auto rifle and they got hit by one bullet and they don't even necessarily notice that their shields are down because they're not in the red, they're not anywhere close, and they get one hit by a grenade launcher from across the map that didn't even actually hit them, that missed them, right? But they had proc stat on it, or they remote detonated it, right? Or they just freaking got lucky and just let go of the trigger at the right time. Like, that to me is what's so frustrating for them. If it were me, I would address that. I feel like they're far too rewarding of a miss, right? I feel like they're too rewarding of a miss. They're too rewarding of these lucky shots that didn't actually take skill. Direct hitting someone with a grenade launcher, by all means, should kill them. Hitting near someone with a grenade launcher should really at most like take away the shields. Like that's really at most what it should do. You should have to hit a crit from that gun that you swap to if it's a hand cannon to clean them up. Or you should have to hit multiple shots from a gun. You know, you shouldn't be able to blint with an auto rifle body shot. And not that anyone is actually doing that, of course, because they're not. They're almost all using hand cannons. But, you know, you shouldn't be able to blint with a grenade launcher swap to a steady hand and body shot them. You know, like the amount of aim required to do either of those two actions is minimal. So that's kind of where I have my issue. But, you know, it doesn't matter because as they pointed out, like they're not getting changed now, but they fully expect their usage to go up, which it, especially saying it in TWAP, it probably will.
Yeah.
Right. Like their usage is going to go up. And so they said like they already have a fix that they're looking at and they are very cognizant of the fact that people are frustrated with grenade launchers.
I expect that they're probably going to bring down the explosion radius significantly,
the damage.
The damage
does,
fall off, you know? Right? It could just be the damage itself. If they drop it to like 115 or something, that's going to significantly limit your ability to clean up those kills. You're going to actually have to land two shots with most guns, a crit with a 120 hand cannon. No, not even a crit if they dropped it to 115. Excuse me. So.
Yeah, especially now that 120 hand cannons are getting that nerf. That's going to take them away. So regardless, we'll talk about shotguns now because that's the topic on everybody's mind. Shotguns, engaging at point blank range using skill at movement or positioning to get close enough to get a one or a two hit kill elimination. So previous to this patch, I would have had issues with that. The first is saying using skill at movement, which I would argue you didn't need a lot of skill at movement to get to within the range that Felwinters could kill you. And the second is to get a one or a two hit kill elimination, where as far as I know, pretty much nobody's using two hit kill shotguns, because most of the time, if you're two hitting, you've already closed to melee distance. So it's faster to just shoot melee than it is to fire and then fire a second shot.
Right. Correct. Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure how I see what they're trying to do here. Right. So let's talk about the changes. Shotguns are very dominant in PvP by any measure, and they don't allow much counterplay with primary weapons in close range like sidearms and SMGs. We see frequent player feedback about the prevalence of PvP activities and how they make it difficult to use various weapon archetypes that otherwise feel good against players without shotguns. For translation purposes, they use archetypes to refer to what we call weapon classes. So when they say archetypes, they mean SMG, sidearm, whereas usually when we say archetypes, we mean like high impact, adaptive, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just so you're aware. We want them to excel in a narrower niche than they do currently. So this change aims to retain the reliable one hit elimination at closer range and push them to be slightly rangier than they currently are for two hit eliminations. As with our intent for all special weapons, if a player is caught out of position with a shotgun, they should be at a clear disadvantage. With the ability to quickly follow up rising in importance, we expect faster firing shotguns to eat into aggressive shotgun dominance and other special weapons to be more viable. So aggressive frame shotgun, the cone angle or the spread angle has changed from 4.0 to 4.25 degrees, which is similar to the Bastion change that they made. Reduced shotgun damage fall off minimum by 2 meters. So damage fall off minimum is the point at which damage fall off begins. So it now starts 2 meters closer to you than it did before. So for example, if damage fall off began at 9 meters on a Felwinters previously, now it begins at 7 meters, right? So you will no longer be doing full damage outside of 7 meters. Increased shotgun damage fall off by 2 meters max. So what that means is where it floors out, where you basically are doing the minimum amount of damage, which for shotguns, the minimum amount of damage is actually zero. The pellets just like vanish, basically.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, say, for example, that that used to be at like, I don't know, if I don't actually know where it is, 13 meters or 14 meters, 15 meters, somewhere around there, right? Say it was at 13 meters. Now that would be at 15 meters. So you'll now be able to do damage to someone at a longer distance. So basically the slope of going from max damage to zero damage, that slope is now shallower than it used to be, right? It used to be a pretty sharp slope where it hit, you know, say 9 meters to 13 meters, went from 9 meters to 13 meters or 4 meters, it went to zero. Now it's over, you know, 8 meters and it's a little bit more gradual. So that's basically what's happening. And then they say, note, slug shotguns are unaffected by these changes. So what that screams to me is, boys, get your dualities, get your chaperones ready.
Yeah.
Because those things are still going to have reliable one-hit kill distances at very long range.
Yeah, I think this is definitely going to help slug shotguns more than it's likely to help rapid fires. It certainly will probably help rapid fires or more likely lightweights, since those are a bit more popular and already have more range, more damage than the rapid fires. That said, the way that people play lightweights right now is not two tapping, right? It's close hard and fast and shotgun melee. You know, hopefully you get the one hit kill. And if you don't, you are already swinging to clean it up. I would suspect that play style will become more valuable. And I would also suspect that slug shotguns are going to be more potent as well. I expect to see a lot of chaperone, a lot of duality, a lot of the legendaries. You know, Heritage, pretty solid. Bone Chiller. There's some good options out there that have just an indecent amount of aim assist. So lots of choices.
Chaperone's going to be nasty. Chaperone has... I'm telling you guys, like the radius around the head that you can hit with Chaperone is insane. So if you haven't tried it out, there's no better time probably than to try out Chaperone, because I wouldn't be entirely surprised. I would not be surprised here. I'll say that I would not be surprised if this change pushes Chaperone so far into the limelight that it does eventually get its aim assist brought down a little bit, because it has been off the rails for a long time, but because the usage numbers are just so low, most people don't really notice it. But you will notice it when you use it. It feels like, I mean, it feels like the radius of that circle crosshair that you get, you could just like, their head can be like anywhere inside that radius and you're getting a headshot. So I think slug shotguns are going to be clear winners. The only way I see rapid fires increasing in usefulness at all in PvP is if somebody or someone starts to show clips of them being able to two tap with a rapid fire before someone can shotgun melee with like a lightweight.
Right.
And I'm not entirely sure that that would result in anything other than a trade, because I think the melee would probably still like register through that shot. Even if, you know, they're pretty close to each other in timing. It's just nobody prioritizes the two tap.
Yeah.
Nobody prioritizes the two tap in PvP.
It would definitely be kind of a 50-50 situation. I mean, ultimately, I think the better counter is to go with a slug shotgun or switch over to a sidearm or an SMG.
Right, because, you know, if you got to look at how players are going to use this. If a player is closing on you and they're within the two tap distance of one of these shotguns, right, which is which is 7 meters or something like that for a rapid fire. I think rapid fires could two tap out to 10 meters. So now if that's now 2 meters further, you know, maybe they can two tap out to like 11 meters. Inside 11 meters, someone can close to you almost instantly. If they have a chaperone, they're going to kill you. If they have a first in, last out, they're going to kill you. You still might get killed by a Felwinter's at like 7 meters instead of 9 meters, right? Like, I feel like the risk of using a rapid fire is not worth the reward of what's like a third of a second two tap. Like, the rate of fire is pretty fast. I mean, I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the rate of fire of each of the shotguns to say what this is gonna do. So aggressives, there is 1.10 seconds between shots. So that is very slow. So the two tap will not help you at all on an aggressive. You will die to almost everything if you miss your first shot. Precisions, which is like retold tail, 0.93 seconds, also pretty slow. I would expect precisions not to get helped by this at all. Lightweights, 0.7 seconds, that's not bad, but you're starting to get like fast primaries can kill you faster than that, right? But then you got rapid fires down here at the bottom, 0.43 seconds. So actually a huge difference between lightweight and rapid fires in terms of rate of fire.
Yeah.
So maybe, I mean, two shots in less than half a second is pretty fast.
It is, but the range is so bad that would even two shots like at far enough away to avoid the counterplay in the trade, would even two shots be enough?
And you're going to burn through ammo.
Yeah, you'll be...
If you're always requiring two shots to kill.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you'll be chewing through ammo way faster than you can find it. So,
I mean, I guess what they're trying to hope is that rapid fires will win in shotgun duels against other non-slug shotguns. I guess that's what they're trying to hope.
Yeah.
Is that like someone comes at you with a Felwinter and pulls the trigger from 8 meters... and doesn't get the kill, and you shoot your first shot at 10 meters as you close and then shoot a second shot before they can even do anything.
Right.
Like, I think that's what they're envisioning, is like the rapid fire is the direct counter to slower rate of fire shotguns.
Yeah.
When they're not played correctly, when the person with the slower rate of fire shotgun got greedy and tried to shoot you from too far away.
Yeah.
I think that's how they're envisioning it. However, I think the way players are going to envision it is, oh my God, Chaperone now kills 5 meters further away or 6 meters further away than Felwinters. And it's super easy to get headshots. I'm just going to use Chaperone. Or it's like you can two-tap a Chaperone, but you can two-tap a Chaperone for like 15 meters. You know, like you can two-tap a Chaperone from a crazy distance. And yeah, it takes 0.93 seconds. But like, I would like to see a rapid fire go up against a Chaperone that is also trying to two-tap them. Because I feel relatively confident that like Chaperone might be able to two tap a rapid fire before a rapid fire can close enough to two tap the Chaperone.
Well, especially because you can always backpedal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the rapid fire is never going to be able to close on somebody with that big of a range advantage. But this does, honestly, I think what's going to happen is that a lot more people are going to try out SMGs and sidearms. And they're going to discover the beautiful in-air accuracy available to them, especially with the right perks and the Nicarus mod. And I think we're going to see a significant rise in usage from those primaries. That's my prediction. I think much more than rapid fires will benefit, those two primary weapons will benefit.
Yeah, I mean, as far as sidearms go, it wouldn't surprise me to see Traveler's Chosen is a fantastic sidearm, like really, really super good sidearm. It is an exotic, yes, but it pairs very well with a sniper rifle. Rat King is actually pretty decent. Devil's Ruin is really fantastic. I know it's weird for people and they don't like it. Cryesthesia is kind of its own thing. Farewell, the new override sidearm. I know a couple people, I've seen them recently on Twitter bragging about it. I wasn't a huge fan. I generally don't really like the lightweight sidearms too much, but that may be a personal thing. You know, I will say that the Suros Rapid Fire, the Fool's Remedy from Iron Banner, I see people shred with that. I see people really, really shred with the Fool's Remedy.
People always say that, and I always get utterly destroyed trying to use it. just completely like a dump poured out over my head.
And well, you know, you can always go back to the old faithful and just use Drang. Drang, call it a day.
It's Brassatex for me, or if I'm not in light enabled content, then it's Smuggler's Word. Those aggressive bursts, I just don't have to think. I don't have to try. I can just bunny hop around and my shots will kill them at some point. Long before they can lock on. They're dirty. Body time to kill of 0.83 seconds is faster than basically 90% of primaries in the game. And you can do it in air, and you can do it while, you know, in air and moving sideways and jumping between shots. Like the mobility it affords you is great, but shotguns are a hard counter to it. Because you have to be pretty close. So as you do for all sidearms,
shotguns. You know, speaking of other things that are going to be buffed by proxy.
Yes.
Fusion rifles. Yes. It's actually a little bit concerning, right? No matter how they try to phrase this, like, let's be honest here, like, this is a nerf to shotguns.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it doesn't matter that the two tap distance has been extended. Precision slug shotguns do take more skill to use, regardless of how much I bitch about Chaperone. They do take more skill to use than a Felwinter's. And the best one costs an exotic slot, which is nice. This is a nerf to shotguns, like, flat out. Like, shotgun usage will decrease after this. Grenade launcher usage is probably going to increase a little bit. I think fusions, you know, SMG and sidearm usage will increase a little bit. They're primary weapons. I think fusions may come out the biggest winner here. Bastion, perhaps most of all. I'm a little bit concerned about this because as a fusion player, I don't actually want to exist in a fusion meta. Mostly because then it will result in fusions getting nerfed, and then my favorite guns will then be worse that I've been using since long before there was a fusion meta. So I don't actually want to deal with that. But I think fusions are going to be the big winners here. Bastion is probably going to be like one of the most dominant special weapons because it's now going to be able to like easily outrange stuff like Felwinter's, which was its biggest competition before.
It is definitely going to make Bastion very appealing as an option. Just like with Chaperone, it does use up an exotic slot. So if there's another exotic you want to use, SOL. But Bastion is a super strong exotic that shuts down supers and does just a really, really great job of killing people without... the aim is fairly... generous. Once you spend a little time, you get used to the chunkiness of it. It's pretty easy to get to take somebody down with, as long as you're within your range. Learning the range, I think, was the hardest part for me, and I'd have to relearn it now because it's been so long. But keep in mind, all of this is going to be valid for about a month, and then season 15 drops, whole new balance changes, and specifically fusion rifles. We're going to have to talk about what could they be changing. They talked about a large rework, changes to basically everything to do with fusion rifles coming in the future. So we'll get to that in the near future section in a little bit here. We should probably keep rolling.
I actually can't get to that. I am NDA'd on.
I'll talk about it.
So yeah, you can hazard your guesses. I will not be making any guesses. And I will also just not be saying anything in general because I can't even, you know, I can't even be like, oh, that's a neat idea or anything like that. So regardless, fusions Fair are enough. Going to come up. Bastion is going to come up. More importantly, you guys will need to know the counter to Bastion is a fusion rifle. It is either a Glacioclasm or an Exile's Curse or a Plug One because all of those fusion rifles have similar charge rates. Bastion's a little bit faster, but they all outrange Bastion by a safe margin. That is the counter to Bastion straight up is a fusion rifle that outranges it. That's what you guys are going to have to learn. You're going to have to understand Bastion hard counter shotguns, fusion rifles hard counter Bastion. At least until, you know, season 15 and everything gets up in the air and everything gets changed, right? But for right now, when you guys start getting frustrated with Bastion, put on a Glacioclasm or put on a Plug One and destroy them.
The other thing to remember about Bastion too is the range is pretty constrained. So once you know someone is using Bastion or you hear it in the near vicinity, don't walk around corners blindly and you won't get killed by it. That's just fundamentally, if you stay away from it, your primary will kill them before they can get to you, as long as you don't walk around any blind corners.
And like Chaperone with Roadborn has about the same range as Bastion. Just, you know, so you guys are aware.
There you go.
It's about 16 meters. So,
well, let's talk about the elephant in the room. The 120 hand cannons.
Yeah.
As if shotguns weren't sucking enough air out of the room to use the metaphor they gave.
The anime profile pictures had a bad week this week. One of their own got banned for cheating. They couldn't believe it. They were in disbelief. And then, boom, shotguns and 120 hand cannons just nerfed. Right off the board.
It's
a rough week for the anime profile pics on Twitter. But yeah, they said handguns are too rangy. They benefit way too much from small damage buffs that enables two tapping. It's tricky because they're now not much different from their pre-Beyond Light form. They already had better range and two tap of the Rampage, but people have latched on to their ease of two tapping potential since the buff in Beyond Light, and the new 120s in Season of the Chosen encourage people to try them out. With this change, we expect other primaries to become more viable, where previously 120s ate their lunch, including adaptive hand cannons, pulse rifles, scout rifles, auto rifles, while allowing 120s to keep their advantage of hard hitting and peak shooting at range. They've reduced the precision damage multiplier from 1.8 to 1.6, which prevents a 10% damage bonus from allowing two tapping in PvP. That 10% damage bonus is Swashbuckler or Rampage. I believe the damage is going from 90 to 80.
Should be 80, yeah, on the precision damage now. And I think actually, even a 20% damage buff will only two tap very low resilience targets, because I think that puts it at like 96. So it's going to have to be a 30% or greater damage buff. You'll need kill clip, like actual kill clip, not multi kill clip, unless you can get multiple kills before you reload.
It puts it at 192, doesn't it? So 80 plus 80 times 1.2, 192. So yeah, so you know, five Brazil and less will survive a two tap with a charge with light 120, which is actually a huge change.
Yeah,
this is charge with light's pretty big now. So
this is a pretty significant nerf to 120s, taking away, I mean, the primary, I think, benefit to them. Like obviously they hit hard. They're great for peak shooting and picking up huge chunks of damage in a very small window of time. But now that's all they're good for. Using those damage buffs to just wreck people in chains is just not going to be, I think, a reliable strategy for most players.
Yeah, and they're also reducing the aim assist fall off distance. So the point at which aim assist fall off begins by 1 to 2 meters, depending on the range stat. And they are reducing the damage fall off distance, the point at which damage fall off begins, by 1 meter. And this reduces their damage fall off advantage to about only 1 meter over other hand cannons. Now, that being said, they still have massive range by default, right? Which means you're not literally going to put it next to a 140 and see it only have a 1 meter advantage, right? Like it will still have more of an advantage. But the difference in their scale, right? So like if normal hand cannons, you know, with zero range, their damage fall off starts at 20, then aggressive hand cannons with zero range, their damage fall off will start at 21.
Right.
Right. So I think at one point they had given them like, what was it? They gave them like a 6 meter. They gave them a huge, huge difference. And they've now scaled that back to just 1 meter. But they still start with way more range by default. So it will still functionally be further out than 140s. However, my thought process is that I think 140s might come back into play. I mean, there's a fifth, or not quite a fifth of a second. There's a 0.13 second difference in TTK. 140s have a time to kill at 0.87 seconds. Now they do require three crits, whereas these 120s only require two crits in a body. But I think with 140 hand cannons out there being so good, there's Palindrome, which is fantastic. Ace of Spades is obviously phenomenal. I think we might see 140s start to surge a little bit.
Could be. We've also got people getting their Fatebringers. Going to want to use those when they can. So there are certainly a lot of options. Honestly, Fadebringer and Palindrome, I think, are the two that stand out to me as the guns to start watching for in your kill feed after this drops.
Thorn as well. You know, Sunshot's a 150, the only 150 left in the game. That's probably worth giving a look to. I mean, basically what this is really doing is this is shrinking the difference between 120s and all other hand cannons that exist. The Finite Impactor from Iron Banner. I think 180s are still probably going to need a little bit of help. But as far as, you know, Hawkmoon, man, is going to be pretty strong. Crimson is going to be freaking disgustingly good. Crimson is already really, really stupidly good on controller. And people sleep on that gun so hard because the optimal TTK doesn't look great. But remember that if they've taken chip damage from literally any source, it will two burst them in a lightning fast TTK.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would highly recommend giving Sturm a shot, or not Sturm, giving Crimson a shot if you were on controller and you're looking for something to swap to post 120.
For a second, I thought you were going to say you're looking for something to swap to post firing your grenade launcher. Crimson also good for that because it'll heal you. So anyway.
See what? Yeah, the TTK on Crimson when it's when you have taken any damage, basically, is 0.57 seconds, which is real fast. So if you are charged with light using Crimson, super fast. You know what? I've convinced myself I'm going to start using Crimson. I'm going to rock a charge with light Crimson build and just shred people. Yeah.
You know, it never occurred to me until just this moment to try pairing Crimson with a bow. That whole Le Monarch build has gotten me thinking about bows a lot more lately. And I feel like Crimson with the right legendary bow could be a very, very annoying blinting strategy.
Crimson with, so what's actually super, like really stupidly annoying is Crimson with skip grenades. Skip grenades track and they do just enough damage to where you can two burst after you've hit someone with skip grenades. So if you have like Shinobu's Vow and skip grenades and Crimson, you can basically just like constantly have skip grenades up and you prime every engagement with a grenade and then you always will two burst. Because like if they've taken enough damage and you're hitting like the 4 crit 2 body like portion of the TTK, it's like real stupid easy to use. The only problem with Crimson is that it has shit handling.
It does have terrible handling.
And, yeah. And so that kind of hurts the swapping, like the blinting strategy with it. Like there are other hand cannons out there that are much, much better for blinting. Like I actually think like Hawkmoon has like 74 handling. Like, you know, I think Sunshot has like 92 handling. So there are some like pretty good hand cannons out there for blinting.
The only reason I like Crimson is because once you've got the catalyst on, the range is just like ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. It's a pulse rifle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it is.
It's a straight up pulse rifle. But which is why Crimson was still somewhat playable even against 120 hand cannons, because the range was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I will say ultimate crutch. If you guys are looking for a gun that's pretty easy to use and super forgiving, very strong, and you're not tremendously great at precisions, Crimson is a fantastic option because you're pretty much guaranteed the 3-burst kill. Even if you don't kill in the optimal TTK, you're pretty much guaranteed the 3-burst kill, and it has the exotic where it heals you, and it's a very strong weapon, is all I'm saying. I don't think it's as good on mouse and keyboard. I think it really struggles on mouse and keyboard because just everything is so different over there, but on controller specifically, highly recommend it.
Okay, well.
What else they say? They say scout rifles and auto rifles are going to get a buff by proxy and pulse rifles. Pulse rifles will.
Yeah.
Scout rifles, not many people are using scout rifles in PvP. Maybe Mida. Mida might get a little buff. Auto rifles.
There will be some ARs, I think, that will be much more usable now. Like currently against 120s, most ARs just get like slapped. It's not nice at all to go up against them. But after this, I mean, you know, they nerfed 120s and the mood all changed.
I think ARs are still going to get slapped. They're just going to get slapped by 140s instead of getting slapped by 120s. I think they're still going
to
get
bullied. At least they have to get closer. Anyway.
Yeah.
What do we got left? We got a few changes to perks. Drop mag can no longer roll on new drops of weapons. We'll have its functionality changed later. There's a change coming next season that requires adjusting this and some perks with similar functionality. More on that later. Pulse monitor, the handling bonus was not applying. That's fixed. Rewind rounds, there was a problem where sometimes it wouldn't perk. It wouldn't proc, excuse me, and that is now fixed. And reservoir burst has been updated a la Dragonfly to be more consistent at doing its thing, blowing up and actually reaching out and touching people. So nice to know. Some exotics. I want to take Sleeper Simulant first because basically there's not a whole lot to say except it's now going to do more damage.
That's fair.
Boom, done.
Yeah, Dead Man's Tale. That's the big one. Dead Man's Tale is dominant on mouse and keyboard. It receives frequent critical feedback from players in the Crucible and is strong, but not worryingly so on controller. We're keeping the fast firing and hip, which we believe is key to the feel of the weapon, but with this change, it will no longer have ADS levels of damage fall off while hip firing, and so will be subject to fall off much closer. It will also require better aim to land hits while hip firing. We deliberately only lightly touching ease of use on this change with the goal of not making it harder to use on controller. So the changes. They are removing the hip fire damage fall off scaler. It was 1.8 times to match zoom. And then the aim assist cone angle hip scaler is reduced from 1.5 to 1.2. So basically what happened was the hip fire damage fall off was the same whether you were ADS or whether you were hip firing. What that meant is that your damage fall off didn't start until like 60 meters. It's like I was actually outside of 60 meters, but it was like, you know, 60 meters, you're really not engaging most players outside of 60 meters. At 60 meters, you were still doing full damage when you were hip firing.
Yeah.
That's not a huge problem on controller because controller, the hip fire is so wonky anyways that it really wasn't easy to use at that distance. And so most players just didn't. Most players were ADSing on controller at those distances. However, on PC, on mouse and keyboard, people could hip fire at those distances, do so accurately, and get the three top kill. So people are down talking this. They're like, oh, this isn't that big of a change. It's not going to have that much of an issue. The weapon is now going to be doing 50% damage at 60 meters, where previously it was doing full damage. It is going to shatter the TTK at those distances, right? Like now the damage fall off starts. I was using Monk's range calculator earlier to figure this out. The damage fall off is about to start at 40 meters now, right? Which is pretty much equivalent range to where 120 hand cannons are still going to be sitting at. It might outrange them a little bit, but that's fine. It's an exotic scout rifle. It is now going to start at 40 meters. By the time you hit 60 meters, which is the range that mouse and keyboard players were abusing it on with sightings and stuff, it's going to be doing half damage and the TTK is going to be effectively doubled, right? Like this is a pretty big nerf for people who were camping in the back of a map with Dead Man's, hip firing it accurately with mouse and keyboard. He is correct that it's not going to have as big of an effect on controller players. And secondarily, that aim assist cone scaler, basically shrinking the aim assist cone and hip fire, that's not really going to matter for controller players as much, at least personally, because the aim assist is so shit already on controller when I'm hip firing that like I feel like it honestly hurts me more than it helps me. Like I've gotten to the point where I'm basically only aiming at or like above the head because I feel like I can't aim like where I normally would on a gun because it's for some reason pulling down to the body and preventing me from getting my crits. So if I'm being totally and entirely honest, I don't think players on controller are going to notice that change that much because the hip fire aim assist is already so messed up. But I think it's going to make a big difference on mouse and keyboard where that pinpoint accuracy that you felt like you had with Dead Man's Tale is not quite the truth. The gun had a pretty generous aim assist cone on mouse and keyboard that it was helping you out with. And because on mouse and keyboard, it did not have those accuracy issues with it pulling down to the body, I think it's going to be a lot more noticeable on mouse and keyboard than it is on controller.
I think that is absolutely undeniable. The range, like in terms of the damage drop off nerf, that's going to be hugely, hugely noticeable. And then, yeah, like, I mean, like you said, the aim assist was fairly generous hip firing. It's still not going to be too bad. But you are going to have to be a little more on target than you were before.
So, I think that being said, it's still going to be strong.
Yeah.
I think that there's still a chance that it's one of the most popular, if not the most popular, gun on mouse and keyboard, especially in trials and stuff. I think what's going to happen is you're going to see people using them at 120 ranges instead of wildly outranging 120s like they were.
Right.
I think that there's a good chance that they probably have to revisit this one with maybe something a little bit more specific for mouse and keyboard. I don't know that there's a ton else that they can do to it without making it, you know, actually not usable on controller. So I think if they have to revisit this, maybe they'll have to do something mouse and keyboard specific like they did with the last word. I think it's still going to be quite good. I just think the very specific technique that people are most frustrated about is sitting in the back of the map behind a Titan barricade and plinking away from 70 meters and getting three taps when you're hip firing. Like, I think that's the real frustration here. And I don't think that's going to be as strong of a strategy anymore. I still think the gun is going to be absolutely freaking dominant at, you know, it's not even quite 40 meters, right? Because it'll drop off for a bit and you'll still be able to get three taps because of how much damage it does. So, you know, the 40 to 45, wherever that range is that it stops being able to three tap, which you're going to feel now, like within that range, it's still going to be dominant. And I'm hypothesizing that it will turn out that players who are using this gun and sending them back and plinking, there's a subset of those players who are actually just good with this gun. And we're using that because it was a cheesy and easy and cheap strategy. That was a lot of E sounds right there.
It was.
But there's a subsection of players who are actually just quite good with DMT, especially when they're playing aggressively. And you're going to see those players like come out of the woodwork a little bit. And that might actually be even more frustrating to deal with on mouse and keyboard. So we'll see.
Yeah. I don't expect to stop hearing about DMT anytime soon. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. If you want to just like pretend not to be here and we won't make eye contact for just a minute or two, I just want to roll real quick through the near future, because I think we'd be remiss not to do so.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get some more water.
There we go.
While you do this, and then I'm going to come back and maybe the timing will work out perfectly and it'll be done. All right. So I'm going away now.
Fingers crossed. Okay. So he has left the room. So the near future, they do mention they've got more changes than usual for a season coming in season 15, some as follow-ups to what we've already talked about, others that were just too big for a mid-season change. So just some brief previews and try to roll through this quickly. Fused rifles, they are finally going to tackle the way that the subfamilies, what we call archetypes of fusion rifles, are broken up. Just going to be a large rework. Bungie's words, not mine. Of fusion rifles, changes to fusion rifle perks and mods, and custom tuning to most exotic fusion rifles, including Vex Mythoclast. And, you know, you can safely assume including Bastion, Telesto, et cetera, et cetera. All the good ones. So that, I think, is big news. I'd really like to see the effective ranges in terms of damage drop-off for all of them brought closer and have the difference be the amount of damage that they do and how fast they fire. So firing more slowly, they do more damage, require less perks to kill. Firing fast, they require more perks to kill, or excuse me, more bolts to kill. That's what I'd like to see. I think that could work well. I'm sure there are a million great ideas out there, and we'll have to just wait and see what Bungie has planned. Breach grenade launchers. So the special grenade launchers, they do acknowledge that they are likely to become more frustrating to play against and more common as shotguns go down a little bit. So they are planning a small change that specifically touches priming and cleaning up targets. This could be a massive handling nerf across the board. Could be a big damage nerf. Could be something else. I would expect them to bring the damage down like Mercules talked about. That is certainly a major strength of those weapons right now. So we'll just have to see what it is. Scout rifles and hand cannons in PvE, they are going to be increasing the damage that they do to minor enemies. So that, I think, is fantastic. Machine guns in PvE found they're not doing their intended job well enough, so they're planning a noticeable change for Season 15. That's great, because by and large, machine guns are not... they're not as versatile as I guess I might expect. So we'll see what that's about. Special ammo economy. I think this is going to be a big one. The changes that they've already talked about to shotguns are likely to tone down the aggressive frame's popularity. But they also have a couple of small changes planned that should reduce the amount of special ammo floating around to a degree. I think that by and large could be good. Unfortunately, there's no talk here of changes to super lethality. So I have a feeling that super chains are going to be even more powerful than before when special weapons come down and primaries by and large not going up a touch, which, you know, I think we've talked about many times. It would be nice to see primaries just a touch more effective across the board. Okay, Anarchy. It's done too much too well for too many years. Without even counting the boost it's gotten this season due to the artifact mods for grenade launchers. So, they are making some changes to make it great at a couple of roles instead of being the jack of all grenade launchers. Anarchy is like the number one most recommended weapon for in-game content. Just full stop. So, not surprised to see this happen. I think I saw somebody predict on Twitter that it was going to get nerfed in the near future, and I don't think they expected it this soon, but we can... I mean, there's no surprise, to me at least. Exotic primaries, they want to give players more reasons to use exotic primary weapons and high-end PvE content. Have changes coming to help with this. Okay, well, that's pretty broad, so we'll just see. And that, I think, is pretty much everything in the TWAB that we need to talk about in this episode. So I'm going to go ahead and give Mercules the wave. Welcome back.
I'm back.
Nothing
was
happened
gone that whole time. Yeah, no. Nope, I actually did go and get water. So I didn't hear any of his superstitions of what he thinks will happen. And I'm also going to skip that part when I edit. Although I guess it doesn't really matter when I'm editing, because I couldn't possibly like do anything when I'm editing.
You could re-record, insert your voice being like, he's wrong.
Oh my God, he got it. He nailed it. Yeah, no. All right, well, I think that is it for this balance patch preview episode of Massive Breakdown Podcast. So unless you have anything else to add, I'm cool with calling it.
I think that's all for this episode. Catch you next time.
All right, guys. We will see you next week. Bye.
Peace.